and welcome to my mini podcast where I talk to Jerry Colvin about his new album, amongst other things. Sometimes we do get a bit in depth at folkin.com in my mini podcast, so we've split this interview into two parts for you. So listen to part one, and when you've listened to that, have a click on part two. Enjoy. Hi, hello, and welcome to another mini podcast with me, Paul Johnson, on folkin.com. And guess who we're talking to?
Hello! My name is Jerry Colvin. I'd like to play some songs I made up myself. I hope you like them.
Oh, yes, indeed. We're talking to Jerry Colvin from the Jerry Colvin Band. And, of course, the man is here. The man himself. Jerry Colvin with me, Paul Johnson. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Paul. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you again. And, yeah, missed you. New Forest Folk Festival, but well done for Shanana Keys gig.
Yeah, we're doing various
other places. You top man, well done, mate.
Well, you've got to keep going, haven't you? You know, Shanana Keys are all over the place at the moment, and hopefully next year we can continue to do that. We might even be playing alongside you one day, mate, so that'll be a lovely thing to do.
Let's do a gig together.
We should do that. We'll definitely do that. We'll make that a date. We'll put that together.
Absolutely.
When I met you, when I bumped into you at the New Forest Folk Festival, again, for a nice little chat, and you can catch that chat, by the way, on folkin.com's New Forest audio review that I did. So just have a click on that and listen to me and Jerry talking in the art. Actually, we was talking out in the woods, wasn't we, in that one, out in the little fringe tent for that interview. So we was having
It was
bit.
Great. Yeah. We'd done the main stage, haven't we, the night before.
That's right.
And which was fantastic. New Forest Folk Festival is an amazing, you know, it's an amazing festival.
Yeah.
The guys, Nick and all the team, do a brilliant job. Absolutely stunning festival. And they have this little tent, and it's normally for workshops and dance workshops and Morris dancing workshops and kids' entertainment. And I just happened to say to him, well, can't we do a gig? Because we're staying overnight, so why don't we just do a gig? And unfortunately, my accommodation fell through.
Oh, no.
So it was only, sadly, the band had the accommodation because there weren't enough beds. And I slept in the car. Do you remember?
No way. Not a man like you sleeping in your car. What?
I know.
This is going back to the punk rock days with the men upstairs.
I haven't slept in a car. Since about 1977, it was great.
Yeah,
at my age, you know, you get up and you think, my bones are aching, and I've got to play a gig. But it was great fun, wasn't it? It was really, and it was different because it was a totally different set, and
yeah, it was
great fun.
Thing. Yeah, it was really
it was a
nice.
Great festival.
Yeah.
If everyone that listens to Folkin.com will know it's a great festival.
It is good, yeah, it's good. And you said to me at that time, mate, I've got a new album out, do you want to talk about it? And a new record label, and it's all go for you, with the Jerry Colvin Band. So we've gone from the man upstairs to Terry and Jerry and the Jerry Colvin Band as we are now, with the wonderful Trish Power, of course, and Lyndon. And Jerome.
Lyndon Webb, brilliant guitar. Jerome Davies, who is the double bass player, who's played with Tony Bennett. And I don't know why they want to play with me. Not forgetting Colvin Cornby, which was my introduction to folk music.
Yeah.
Nick Cornby, my fantastically wonderful musical partner in Colvin Cornby.
Yeah, I remember you well.
Mm. He introduced me, because he was in the Phil Beer band, he introduced me to Phil Beer and Mr. Knighters, Knightley, and I call him Knighters.
Yeah,
and I suddenly realised that there was this amazing underground music, which you guys already know, that is folk music.
Yeah.
You know, the only music that is non-sexist, non-racist, non-gender, you know, it's completely and utterly open-minded. It's a complete umbrella, and I absolutely love that. You can have punk folk, you can have soul folk, and folk music, let's face it, is the original music.
Absolutely.
So I really, I I completely embraced it.
You've definitely
after having been
in.
A songwriter
yeah.
in Nashville and things, and having to do it formulaically,
yeah.
and having to write pop music and country music, it suddenly freed you to do something completely different. Nick was an inspiration, and God bless him, Nick Quarmby. I'm sure people that are listening know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
was an amazing bloke.
It was good. It was a great band. I've seen you a couple of times in that format.
Oh,
and I've seen you more of recently of your with your Jerry Colvin band, who I think are really good. And it wouldn't be right of me without giving people a little sample. So let's have a little listen to this track here. It's The Bell.
I am the vein under the ground. I am the vein the miner has found, pulled from the soil through man's sweat and toil. I am the vein, I am the stone. I am the ore in the stone.
Love that, and it kind of sums up your feel for your music, because when you play, you create. You've got this lovely way of creating an atmosphere on the stage. You sort of bring the audience with you, and before you know it, they're all singing along. It's just something about your personality, mate. I mean, you can't buy that. You can't go to Sainsbury's and buy that.
The Bell is a bizarre song because it was it was inspired by. A story about the Spanish Civil War, where when the fascists were attempting, and they did, to take over Spain, a tiny village, it was a tiny story that I'd read, they buried all the valuables from the village in a hole in the mountains, including the church bell.
Wow.
And years and years later, when Franco had been deposed and Juan Carlos became king or whatever, they said, oh, right, let's go and dig it all up. And no one could remember where they'd buried all these valuables.
Wow. That's
and I just wondered, all those things have just become part of the earth, and whether spirituality or how you feel about things, money and religion is up in the sky, or whether it's below us,
yeah,
you know, in
yeah.
the ground underneath us. And I thought, I wonder if those people in that village kind of cared that all these monetary things had gone
yeah,
when they'd
amazing.
Survived for
yeah.
so long without them. And it was just a And that's what it. That was the inspiration.
Brilliant
it?
Song, really but nice. But then again, you know, your songs, they're very quite thoughtful. Your songs, all your songs have got really good words. I love them all, and even the more funnier ones, like you know, the as I've said to you before, going back a long time ago about the Essex blokes who stole the Ford Escort or whatever it was, and all about that and these songs. And what I love about this new album, it has got a little bit. Slightly more country tinge to it, I feel, because you've been to Nashville, you've worked in Nashville, haven't you? You said,
yeah, and yeah. It's trouble in Nashville because I said that it was all folk music.
Yeah,
Nashville is a very strange place. There are loads of Nashvilles. There's an alternative Nashville, which is people writing amazing songs. Everyone is a brilliant musician. And then there's the mainstream music that is popular. And there is an area of Nashville which has people like Arrested Development, which is a black community that does their own kind of cultural mix with country music. It's the most peculiar thing. I was there in the 90s, so I'm sure it's different now.
Let's hope so, yeah.
But intriguingly, it's incredibly different and intriguing. But folk, I realised when I was there, I'm European.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one there has listened to and watch Thunderbirds.
No.
Or Stingray.
No, that's not what you're talking about, don't
know. No, exactly.
Hey, do you remember Lost in Space?
Everyone, when I was there.
They look at you as if you're mad.
I was there. Yeah. That a picture of Margaret Thatcher, she was the queen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so it was all completely bizarre. But God bless her. But I remember I went to work with this guy, and this is absolutely true, and forgive me for doing an accent in a Jim Davidson really awful way, but I was plonking with him at 9 o'clock in the morning trying to write songs. This is stupid. And he went, "Jerry, I think your songs were a bit patronizing." And I said, "I think you'll find that's patronising."
Yeah, I love it. Oh, dear.
So funny. It's a funny place, but God bless them. And I met some amazing people. I met a guy that collected clothes worn by country artists.
Wow.
Like Alan Jackson and Conway Twitty and Dolly Parton, ironically.
Blimey.
And he had a pair of Dolly Parton socks, bed
Blimey.
Socks.
Blimey. That's a whole other podcast, that is.
Because all the songs I write are about, things that have happened to me. That's why I wrote Johnny Cash Shirt.
I love Johnny Cash's
title
shirt.
Title track on this new Crocodile Records album.
Exactly, yeah. Because you've got a new record label called Crocodile Records. Strangely enough, they're a little rockabilly record company, but they're taking you under their wing.
It was a very bizarre thing. I played down south at a brilliant, it's called Folk on the Moor, and if anyone ever gets down there, it's in the middle of Dartmoor, and it is the most amazing club. It's beautiful, wonderful people organise it. And it's one of those old-fashioned folk clubs where you get the floor spot, you get the whole thing.
Yeah, nice.
And it's wonderful. Yeah. Anyway, we played down there, and there's a guy in the audience, and I noticed that he had a prisoner from the 1960s television program, a prisoner blazer on. And I said, I love The Prisoner. It's my favourite television program. Anyway, we got chatting in an interval, and his name was Billy Jay. And he's one of the UK's seminal harmonica players.
Wow, yes. Billy
and he
Jay.
Said, my wife and I just came along and were really enjoying it. I said, do you want to come and have a squawk on this track? So he came up, and he played on this track. Anyway, about a year later, he said, I've listened to that track, and I really like it, and I've remixed it. And so he remixed it with him on a harmonica, and he put a train on it and did a video with Johnny Cash in it. And he said, and he made it, and he went, I've sent it to my mate, Malcolm at Crocodile Records. Anyway, Malcolm rings me up and says, I really love that track. And do you want to do an album? And I went, well, you know what we're like, Paul? We go,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Of course we will, yeah.
And he went, well, I can sort it out on all the platforms and, it'll be released in Australia and Japan. And, he said, nothing will happen, Jerry, because, we're only a little label. You're not going to beat Taylor Swift. Well, he didn't actually say Taylor Swift, he said Robbie Williams.
Oh, well.
And I went, I don't care. As long as it doesn't cost me anything, just do it. So I'd said, Billy J, you choose the records. You choose the. So it's like a retrospective album of things from the Jerry Colvin band, Colvin Cornby, and my own solo stuff. Hmm. And it was quite cathartic. For someone else, I sent them all my back catalogue that I thought might be relevant. And Malcolm and Billy just chose things that they thought would fit into an Australian, a Japanese, a Canadian market. It's on crocodilemusic.com, and it's available on all platforms.
And that concludes part one of my chat with Jerry Colvin. Have a click on part two to hear the rest.